Baseball Gamers, welcome to episode number 134 of the NLSC Podcast. This is your weekly dose of discussion for the NBA, NBA Live, and NBA 2K. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, and with me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey everyone, we're keeping the streak going.
Apparently so, we're sticking to the schedule, managing to find things to talk about each week. It's been fun, it's been good.
Yeah. Hopefully we can continue the streak for a few more weeks, at least until sort of more towards the new year. We might take a week or two off with Christmas and New Year's, I'm guessing.
We usually skip an episode, or skip a week, I should say, here and there around the holidays. But in the meantime, stuff to talk about, and yeah, let's keep the streak going, I guess.
I think so.
So I have to admit that I haven't been playing a whole lot of basketball games this past week, or at least the last couple of days. I've been playing the newly released Fallout 4. If you've listened to the podcast in the past, you know how obsessed I am with the Fallout series, and I mentioned Fallout 4 way before it was even officially announced. It's out. I'm loving it. So I'm kind of getting through that initial building up the character and getting through all those early missions and really getting into the game, and then my gaming rotation will sort itself out, and I'll be playing that and WWE 2K16. And I mean, I've got about four or five games at the moment that I want to play. They've all kind of come out at the same time, unfortunately for the bank balance as well.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
when you buy special editions, the premium ones and all that stuff.
Some people may have bought the Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4, that is correct. Nevertheless, I have been playing a little bit of the games, not as much because of Fallout and a couple other things this past week, but still a lot to talk about with the game, some interesting things to cover this week, and of course the latest action around the NBA a couple of weeks into the 2016 season, and already some interesting goings on, is there not?
Oh yeah, and even some early trades, which came out of nowhere really.
We do have the first trade of the season, which we'll talk about when we get to the NBA section of this episode of the podcast. But first of all, I wanted to talk about NBA Live 16. We usually tip off with NBA Live talk here on the NLSC podcast. Not a lot to talk about as far as what's coming out, or what has come out, but what we'd like to see come out, because that we have yet to see a huge content update for NBA Live 16, or for that matter, a huge gameplay patch. We've seen some minor fixes and even got some patch notes on a couple of the releases, which was nice, because when you go to the PlayStation, you go to the PS4 home screen and bring up the details on the patch, and all it says is minor bug fixes. You know, that doesn't really tell you a whole lot. We like to see that laundry list of what they've addressed.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get the patch notes for the most recent update. But we're still waiting for that big content update, because a lot of the rookies still don't have their right faces. Porzingis of the Knicks.
That's true.
Still has the generic face that isn't actually a very good fit as far as generic faces go, unfortunately, and of course there are issues that hopefully can be addressed with the tempo and whatnot of gameplay and other issues that hopefully they will address. But as yet, no news on an update for NBA Live 16. And also concerning is they haven't updated the NBA Rewind games, which I believe was supposed to come through with Synergy data. And of course, there are Synergy updates for the game, and a couple of roster updates have come through. One came through last Thursday, shortly after we finished recording. But yeah, Ben, not a lot of updates for NBA Live 16, or a lot of news.
It's disappointing. I mean, there is something I addressed just before we started recording as maybe a reason to why, or a possible scenario that might be a reason why. And I'm hoping that in, you know, the next 2 weeks that we will hear some news about a patch and all that for Live, and hopefully it's a, you know,
substantial
not a light patch compared to, you know, what both games have released. Obviously they'd mainly address just some quick fix issues and stuff like that while they work on their, what we can assume is going to be the big gameplay patches and all that stuff.
Which obviously do take longer to develop, but
would be
encouraging to hear that something is in the pipeline for it, especially with so many rookies needing the new faces, and they haven't had the scans yet and they're using the generic faces, and gameplay issues that hopefully they can do something about. I've had some fun with the game so far. I think it is a step up on NBA Live 15, which some people would say is not saying much, but I had some fun with 15, and 16 definitely has some key improvements with the feel of the game, which is nice, and pro-am and everything, as we've talked about before. But I mean, it really does need that extra something to really push that gameplay forward, so that people can say, oh, okay, this is in really good shape moving towards NBA Live 17, because as we've discussed before, they do have the license through next year, as I understand it. So there should at least be an NBA Live 17. And the point that you brought up before we started recording is that, are they, especially with the sales, we talked about the low sales a couple of episodes ago for NBA Live 16 in the first week compared to NBA 2K16, which I did look up. It was 1 million, not 4 million.
Okay, it must have been its first month or something, or a couple of weeks. I can't remember what was that 4 million mark that they had gotten.
Well, 2K does end up usually selling about 5 million or so
True.
each year. So Live, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, has not sold well so far. And as far as I can tell, they are going to make NBA Live 17. I've shot along my some feedback for both a potential patch and also NBA Live 17 to the development team, to the folks I know there. Very receptive of that feedback and keeping tabs in our forum as well. So once again, they are actually taking on board that feedback, which is great to hear. But you brought up the point before we started recording that if they are going to just look at the sales of 16 and say, okay, we need to just go all out on NBA Live 17 and make sure that is the game that really moves the needle. Would they perhaps scale back the support on Live 16?
I mean, it would kind of be a bad move if they did, but I can understand focus all their resources and time on it. I mean, let's just say, you got someone doing the roster stuff, you got someone doing the accessory stuff. They were doing a Players of the Week thing. I don't know if they're doing that anymore. I sort of think there was only one or two Players of the Week things that they were doing.
That stuff has seems to have slowed down a bit, yes.
So take into account, the salaries for those roles and all that stuff, and are they best put towards just focusing on Live 17 and hopefully, have a more, well, not so much just a
A
polished,
better showings, I guess,
and
really.
hopefully lead to better sales results and stuff like that. I'm hoping
Yeah,
that's.
it's a double-edged sword because on one hand you have to do that, and you're probably not going to get those customers until NBA Live 17, which will hopefully be a deeper product with its game modes and everything, and even more improvements to the gameplay, and that's when you get people in, new animations and whatnot. At the same time,
It hurts
people
the goodwill of those who have bought the game, hoping
who have
for
bought
some.
16, absolutely, and they could still move some units this year. If they push through a patch that really improves the game, I do think they need to at least push through one significant update for Live 16, and they do need to keep the content updates coming through each week for Ultimate Team and of course the roster updates and everything. But I mean, if it's for the good of the future of the series, I mean, we've seen them do drastic measures before, like canceling games a week before they're supposed to come out.
Well, even just days, because they had the launch.
Days, yeah,
They
with
had the
Live
launch party
13.
on a Friday, and then first thing we hear Monday is, well, no release.
That has been cancelled, yeah. So I mean, they've taken drastic steps before for the good of the series. Well, that's certainly been the intention. So I could see them scaling back, but I do think they need, for the sense of goodwill, as you said, at least having one significant content update and continued updates throughout the season for the weekly stuff.
And if they do sort of scale back, and this sort of it sort of would be a backwards step in terms of like from what we've had, discussion with Sean and all that stuff. The intended goodwill that they have, tried doing over the last couple of years to sort of,
Oh yeah. I mean,
try and
it
get
would
people
certainly
back on board, and that it would
it
be
would
a
be
step.
controversial, but again, if it's a move they needed to do, then to ensure the stability of the series, or if it ensured NBA Live 17 was a really good game and a huge step forward, then it might be a necessary evil, I guess you could say. But it certainly wouldn't be without controversy or spoiling some of the goodwill. But it's a difficult situation. We were hoping that Live 16 would move the needle a little bit more and be more well received. And there are good things to that game, but there are also still those outdated animations. And I think, I mean, that was And I did mention to the guys at the community event that the lack of roster editing and updates to Dynasty mode certainly would work against the game, and they understood. And Sean acknowledged that on the podcast when I interviewed him on episode 129. So that they know that they need to do that stuff, and that stuff absolutely has to be in Live 17. We've talked about that a couple of shows ago as well. It'd be great if they could push that through in a content update. I can tell you,
yeah.
I mean, if that's what they're working on, then absolutely go ahead with that content update. But I would like to think that there will be at least, again, one significant update. And I'd also like to get some more information about that. I mean, I'll send out feelers and whatnot, but I do know that they're accepting feedback and listening to the community about all that stuff. So they are working on something, basically, whether it be, well, they'll be working on two things, both Live 16, I would assume, and Live 17 pre-production. But at the moment, I guess we have to wait and see, because there's been no word of the content update or what it might entail, but fingers crossed it's coming, I guess.
It's be a shame if there's no result or no update. It'll be hard for those who have purchased the game and see a lot of the good in it. But yeah, just those few little touch-ups here and there would have made it more enjoyable.
A little bit something extra just to enhance the experience
yeah.
in the short term. I mean, the really big improvements have to come year to year with the new iteration of the game. That goes for any yearly title, basically. But it is a bit disheartening to see that those updates sort of slow down and the roster updates still kind of have some outdated lineups and whatnot, but hopefully they can get it together. And the support does need to be better, I think, for Goodwill. But if there is an ultimate reason, a higher reason for it, that it's going to Live 17 and it's going to be better, then I guess perhaps they can win back the crowd next year. Because as we talked about, those low sales figures are quite disappointing.
That's for sure.
And
I mean, considering the game is better than the last two releases in that, so yeah.
It's whether it moves. It's whether it's better. With a big enough improvement for most people. Yep. And of course, 2K is still doing incredible things. So it's very hard without having that really deep product to make a dent in 2K. I mean, you've got your loyal live gamers, and I think we're in that as well.
Yep.
Not that we're blind to its shortcomings or how it needs to get better, but we are the ones checking it out and having that interest to really. And there seemed to be that interest. And actually, Izzy Snow brought it up in the forum, that interest really seemed to die around the event in New York.
Yeah, which is odd, I thought, considering, a lot of people had a lot of good to say about from the event, so, and, people's in.
Well, they did. I mean, it was positive what they were saying, and, well, he pointed out a couple of, made a good couple of points, and one of them was that, first of all, they gave away a lot of copies of the game, so that's people they can't sell the game to because they've already got a copy.
Yep.
And also, a lot of sites were able to stream gameplay, and those sites were not necessarily the people streaming the game were not necessarily hardcore basketball gamers or particularly good basketball gamers playing a new game for the first time.
So yeah, it didn't sell the product because it made the game look ugly in that sense.
Yeah, you look at NBA Live does have its shortcomings within the animation department, so. That is what it is. But you look at, say, what Izzy and the NBA Live stream team are doing when they show off the game, as opposed to that early footage from some of the sites that were at the event, like gaming websites that aren't necessarily sports gaming websites. They do cover sports games, but they're not necessarily hardcore sports or basketball gamers.
Yep.
It looks a lot different. And you look at some of the early footage of 2K16 and people saying how terrible that was. And 2K16 is a much better looking game than Live 16. And a much better game in general. But you look at the early footage at Gamescom and everything, and the game didn't look good because the people playing it
just
didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. So that didn't help Live. I mean, when 2K can look bad, when you make 2K look bad for being a good game, a bad bad player, you can certainly make Live 16 look bad.
I mean,
so I think that killed. I would have to agree with Izzy on that one. I think it killed the hype a bit.
Yeah, and I think it was a good. Like, it was another comparison of that was like when Live 14 came out, we saw like over the shoulder cams and all that stuff of people playing it, but because they hadn't played it, and then it made the game look bad, even though it was relatively bad. But when they had Scott OG playing it for the streams and all that stuff, you could actually see it being like actually working and all that stuff. And
When the developers were playing,
yeah, you
it
know,
would
when
improve
someone, yeah, so.
a lot better. So it just goes to show that kind of demonstration can kill the hype. I mean, there's other issues with the game. I'm not blaming it solely on the event, which neither was Izzy. But it is a good point that there was a lot of hype before about Pro-Am and everything, and then the event happened and everyone kind of cooled off on it. So I think it certainly was a factor. And then, of course, learning more about the game, oh, there's not much about Dynasty, there's no roster editing, etc. That certainly killed a lot of people's hype as well. So that's something that Live 17 must address. Again, it would be awesome if they could patch some of that stuff, a few features, into Live 16. I just don't think that's feasible. I think it's going to mostly be gameplay tweaks, which are important. But I did notice, because they did talk about it on, oh, what did I hear about? Actually, no, it was Sean on the podcast that mentioned that they can push through new animations.
Yeah, well, that's something that they
And
were able to do last year as well. We saw a little bit of that.
we did, and I did see, I forget who it was, one of the producers on Twitter, I'm drawing a blank who it was now, but mentioned getting new mocap data and seeing how great that was. And I thought, the time when I saw that, I thought, wow, maybe he's talking about something for a potential gameplay update, that they can push through those new animations and phase out the old ones, which will be a huge improvement
Oh, yeah.
to Live 16, and will look better. And if Pro-Am is a bit of a hook for people, or maybe Ultimate Team, they can probably pick up a few sales before the season's over. But it will take some updates to the gameplay. But yeah, I wish I could remember who it was, because I'd like to pull up that tweet, because that was interesting. But yeah.
A price drop in the game, like even if they do one now, but say even for Live 17 to try and get people back, say do like what 2K
Yeah.
did. Sell it at a cheaper price.
That's what Izzy also mentioned, and I do think that's a good idea. I mean, especially if it doesn't have the depth of 2K. I mean, people can talk about Live not being worth the full price. I mean, it's not, it doesn't lack anything that it advertised, if that makes sense. I mean, it's fully featured as far as what's intended to be in the game. It's just that the features themselves are not in depth. I mean, it's one of those things with games. Oh, this isn't worth full price, etc. It's when you're looking at production costs and everything. I mean, yeah, it's tough. But what it comes down to, of course, is does the content
Equal the
justify
value,
me
yeah.
spending full price on it? And for NBA Live, for a lot of people, they want a deeper Dynasty mode. They want better animations. They want a more polished looking game.
And
The answer is
just
no.
more expensive
So
modes and the
therefore,
depth modes, so yeah.
yeah. So if you do drop it for Live 17, if you can add some stuff and say, look, here it is, reduced price. Even if it has to go digital only, like NBA Jam on Fire Edition, to cut down the costs and to keep it, to sell it at a lower price, to make it digital only, that could be feasible as well if it's a product worth having. So, I mean, it would be a good way to show some goodwill and maybe get people to get some extra, maybe get some extra sales, dropping the price of Live 17. But ultimately, the product that they deliver has to. Well, deliver.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever price they sell it at, it's going to have to be something that people want to check out. And again, I've been sending along my feedback, as have the game changers, a lot of people on YouTube and in the basketball gaming community in general. And from my conversations with the guys that I know on the dev team and in the involved at EATB on there, they're all very receptive to that feedback. So again, it's fingers crossed that they can do something good with 16 and hopefully with 17 as well, because it does look like they've got the license for NBA Live 17, as we've said before. What happens beyond that, whether they go to NBA Street or NBA Jam, I'm not sure. And maybe that's the way it goes forward. But I'd like to see them make one last good go with Live 17, based on some of the stuff that we've been saying, because it just feels that Live 16's got some really good concepts, a good foundation with the dribbling mechanics and a lot of other stuff that you can see working. You can see the stuff that's working. It just needs to work and look better, and the experience be deeper. I know it's easier said than done, but you can see what works, and that's why I'm totally against them scrapping the engine and starting over. What's there that works really works. What doesn't work needs to get better, and what does work also needs to get be even better as well.
Co-sign on that one.
So I guess we'll see what happens. We'll keep everyone up to date as far as a patch is concerned. Knowing our luck, something will be announced tomorrow. As soon as it's, we've wrapped up the podcast. But well, if that's what it takes to push the patch through, then So be it. Speaking of which, the other patch that we could push through, simply by mentioning it, is patch number 3 for NBA 2K16. Apparently it was possibly going to be submitted to Microsoft and Sony last week. I haven't heard any updates since then. Operation Sports had the story from Mike Wong posting in the forums over there, Operation Sports. Just looking at their article at the moment, there's no definitive list of changes, no laundry list that'll come after the patch is released, of course, but they were expecting to be finished last week, then it's off to Microsoft and Sony for approval. Steam, of course, doesn't need approval, so they can just upload that as soon as it's ready and working. So fingers crossed for the PC version. No more delays. Just looking at some of the changes addressing CPU being overpowered in Pro-Am, nerfing poorly rated shot blockers, blocks being addressed in patch 3, looking at working on step back jump shots, everything that will apply to micro-readers in progress. That's usually the case. Patches will be applied to Rust to saves already in progress. They have a solution. They think they have a solution for step back jumpers. So they're making some changes to shooting and the badges, contested shots at the rim, contested threes. So there'll be some more gameplay tweaks in patch 3. And I would assume there'll be some PC specific fixes in patch 3 for the PC version as well. Lefthos has been collecting information in the forum about that. And yeah, so we don't know when that will be coming as yet. There's been no more updates on their social media or Operation Sports, but the patch has been, it is close to completion from the looks of things. So good news. But once again, we're just hoping that it's hoping to drop soon, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to see it come through. And, you know, just other content in it and sort of see what they do with it.
So they have actually released a couple of detailed patches. Patch number 2 was quite detailed for NBA 2K16. We got some patch notes there. Of course, you can check those out in the forum, as well as the latest status on some of the PC issues. And again, Leftos has been helping people out with some random crashes. I've been having good performance, actually, on the PC version with my brand new rig.
That's good.
It's playing 2K16. It's playing Fallout 4 very nicely, so it was a good investment on top of the PS4.
I'm looking at getting a game for my new rig and sort of seeing how it can do, especially utilizing the 4K monitor and screen both on the laptop and that I got. So,
oh, well, 2K16, I'm told, looks pretty good in that. So,
okay.
If you wanted to double dip and check out some of the mods, of course, that our talented community is making,
I might have to.
But also on the subject of news out of Operation Sports from the forum. A couple of users have been debating how to fix issues with the defensive AI for the CPU, and they also posted the solution in our forum as well. But basically, it looks like the settings for the under defensive settings for the double team on the perimeter and double team in the post for the CPU are set to manual by default rather than auto in the settings, which seems like it might be a new setting that could be off by default as a bug, as an oversight, quite possibly. That's something that they've been hitting the development team up about. But if you go into those settings and change them to auto, you should see more of a difference from the CPU AI. So it's something to definitely check out, because they'll start to double team on the post and the perimeter if you switch that on. So you'll definitely notice a difference.
That's pretty good, and good find. I mean, I suppose, I wonder if it was took a while for them to sort of figure out if that was the cause and that.
Well, there's so many gameplay settings and sliders and everything in 2K16 that if you do look for these issues, and it's, I mean, you can talk about how, oh, it should be right out of the box, and ideally, yes, everything should be great out of the box. But because there are so many settings with 2K, and I know that there's a lot of people making sliders for the game. You can check out the thread with a couple of slider sets already in the forum. But it's great that if you're not really enjoying the experience out of the box, that if you do make these tweaks or you find this setting that could be switched on or off, and it improves the gameplay, then you know you don't really need to wait for a patch to fix it. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I did want to make mention of that this week, because that was a really good find. I can check that out in the forum for more details. And if you do have any more If you find anything like that yourself, be sure to let us know, post it in the forum, and share that with your fellow basketball gamers. It's very much appreciated when we get those tweaks, as I said, because they can sometimes be the difference. If you get a good slider set, a game that doesn't feel good out of the box can suddenly feel really good. So it's worth doing. I've actually been checking out some slider tweaks for NBA Live 16 as well. Of course, there are some issues with that game that do need to be patched, as we talked about at the top of the show, but it's worth tweaking just to see whether this or that a setting is the difference. So it's good to have those settings in the game, basically. It's vital these days. But moving on to the NBA discussion, that's pretty much all we have for the basketball games this week. We will keep you up to date, as I said. If there's any news on forthcoming patches, you can check that out on the main site and in the forum, of course. But moving on to the NBA discussion this week, wanted to start out by mentioning some huge numbers by Mr. Drummond, Andre Drummond.
Yeah, he's been...
And it's times like this we wish we had Left Coast on the podcast still, because... I'm sure he'd be able to talk at length about the excellent play of Andre Drummond, but just some ridiculous numbers, Ben. I'll just bring it up here. So far this season, averaging 19.4 points per game, which is a career high. 19.6 rebounds, almost 20 rebounds a game.
That's crazy.
And just under 2 blocks per game, and not really doing as much on the assists front or the... But also averaging just under 2 steals a game through the first 7 games. Jeez. And currently shooting 53% from the field, about 41% from the free throw line, which is kind of up from last year. He's not a great free throw shooter still, but they seem to be running a few plays for him, and he's responding, shooting decently, as I said, and scoring almost 20 points a game, but to almost average 20 and 20, that kind of hasn't been done since the days of Wilt Chamberlain, basically.
Yeah, and these should be numbers that Anthony Davis should be putting up, really. If the New Orleans let him play the way he's been playing in that the previous years, and that. So yeah,
I mean, his numbers are actually getting a little bit better, and the Pelicans have finally won a game. But yeah, looking at all these numbers for Drummond, it's really really something special. In fact. He's dropped over 135 points and 135 rebounds through the first 7 games. Indeed, is the first player since Wilt Chamberlain to do that in 1970. So these are some truly historical numbers. And you look at the pace of the game back in the 60s and 70s, that's certainly what facilitated some of those huge numbers for Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and everyone back then. But to be doing that in the modern age, averaging 20 and 20, close to, pretty remarkable.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And the Pistons themselves haven't done too badly through the first week, a couple of weeks of the season. They are 5-2, which places them third in the Eastern Conference, ahead of your Heat and my Bulls. And at 5-2, that's the same as the same record as the Spurs, who are second in the West, along with the Clippers. So, in fact, if you look at the East, actually not doing too bad, stacked up for the West so far in the early going, which is nice to see. I'm being a bit of an East fan myself, because that's where the Bulls are.
Yeah.
Kind of nice to see the East gets trashed a lot, and they certainly have been the weaker conference for a long time now, but to see them holding their own a bit, that's nice to see.
Yeah, and it's early days, obviously, so, but yeah, it's very comparable just between the two. I was looking at myself, so... Doesn't look so one-sided at this stage, but obviously see how things are in another month or two, and then we'll see.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, there's 10 teams in the East that are 500 or better.
Well, that was better than last year, wasn't it, at this stage?
It is. In fact, it's better than the West. There's only 8 teams that are at 500 or better in the West at the moment.
Step up your game, West.
Well, of course, the East, you could say, well, it's just the weaker conference, so naturally it has the... easier wins, but of course, if everyone's on the level playing field, then you've still got to win the games. So, and you've got the Cavs at 7-1, the Hawks at 7-2. At the top of the West, the Warriors are still undefeated with 8 wins to start the season. The Spurs and Clippers, as I said, 5-2. The Thunder 5-3. So a few teams off to a pretty decent start, but only a couple kind of already looking on that 60-plus win pace. But it is good to see them to do that, and the Pistons. I hadn't picked the Pistons to do well this season, I have to admit it.
No, it's the same with me. Maybe marginally better than last year, but not by much.
not off to a hot start and, you know, looking to be a playoff team.
That's for sure. So left us is quietly laughing in his little dungeon layout office.
Well, he's ahead of our team,
yeah,
so I'd
yeah.
say so. I left those.
Miss you, buddy.
But because we haven't talked about sleeves enough on the podcast, Ben, I thought I would mention it. But we are not alone in our hatred of sleeves. I mean, we knew that because a lot of people rip on sleeves all the time. But LeBron literally ripped on sleeves the other day as he tore the sleeves during a game against the who was it?
I can't remember who.
Against the Knicks, of course. That's right, the Knicks.
Has to be the Knicks.
Just pull up the article here, and he's trying to be diplomatic about the jerseys after the game, and saying, "Oh, the jerseys are nice. We love the jerseys.
If the fans like them, he likes them."
Yeah, but and he kind of played it off like, "Oh, I'm frustrated." But he's talked before how he doesn't like the sleeves. He's not alone as far as players go.
Yep.
And I mean, if this is just another blow to sleeve jerseys that top players in the league are ragging on them and literally ripping them off, you know, maybe finally we're in the beginning stages of the experiment coming to an end.
Well, it's actually funny. Like, I mean, I've had been thinking for a little while, but the last about a week or two before it happened, I was actually wondering if a player did rip off their sleeves or, you know, try and even use scissors before the game and cut them off or something like that. Would that violate any of the NBA uniform dress code and all that stuff? So
It probably would. It would be the same way you can't play with the torn jersey or the bloody jersey or something. I suppose it probably would.
Yeah.
But,
you know. But yeah, even if, say they like what LeBron did, rip it off during the game, and that, you know, again, is that some form of violation, and is there a fine? Or so, yeah.
Well, I mean, they didn't make him put on a new jersey,
did they?
And of course, they would have replacements on hand in case something goes. So they didn't make him put on a new one with intact sleeves. So maybe it's not a violation, but or maybe he can just get away with it being LeBron James.
Yeah.
But
we've seen people get away with five steps in the game, so or jump in the air and still catch the ball, and yeah, and just some really bad calls. So yeah, I don't know, but I really hope there's none by next year. Like if there is, then well, I suppose we had asses last year, but still, if Nike bring him in, that's gonna hurt them.
I mean, it seems like it would be a like an Adidas thing, but you mentioned the travels. Did you see the one by DJ Augustin?
Yeah, the five step. Yep.
Yeah, that was what you were talking about. Yeah, that
was. And then
that was pretty blatant.
Yep. And then was it the New York Knicks against the Charlotte Hornets? It was probably more of a last year one, but I've seen the video of it, and I'm like, oh my god, how the hell did a ref or anybody like not call that? Because yeah, he jumps in the air. It's like I'll have to send it to you. I've posted it on my Facebook and on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean it's the running joke in the NBA, isn't it?
Yep.
That you can basically run with the ball. but as far as the sleeve jerseys go, I mean, we've talked about it before, and we don't like them. We every time they bring in a new sleeve jersey, we roll our eyes and complain about it here on the podcast. But nevertheless, hopefully that is the beginning of the end, that if a player of LeBron's stature is tearing them off and kind of verbally backpedaling after the game, but the demonstration has been made, that the point's been made, I think, when you tear the jersey, even in frustration. Why are you frustrated? Because because the jerseys are uncomfortable. That's why you're frustrated. Maybe that's why you were shooting badly and then started hitting some shots after you tore the sleeves. But we shall see. Much like the patches for NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16, we shall see. Moving on to our favorite teams, a bit of news there. Last week, I watched the Bulls play the Thunder. That was quite a good game, actually, if you're a Bulls fan. The Bulls were slow to start, but were pretty good to finish. Derrick Rose, actually, with some clutch play, as he's had been playing, or hadn't really knocking down his shots, and he's still not shooting particularly well in the season as he continues to deal with the double vision from the orbital bone injury. And he's still the masked man, of course, so he's fearlessly driving to the basket, but some of those shots still not falling, but made some big shots down the stretch against the Thunder. And after the game, he addressed the rumors that have been swirling, because it's been put out there that the Bulls have already started their separation, their divorce, if you will, from Derrick Rose, and everyone's pretty much denying it. And Rose just said he's not worrying about such scuttlebutt. He's there to play for the Bulls. He's there. He knows who he is and what he wants to do and what he wants to do to help the team win and such, and probably one of his better public statements of late, all things considered. But I mean, Reggie Miller had a good point during the game that at this point Rose is an easy target. I mean, the memes. I mean, he finished last season. He did miss a few games after follow-up surgery, but he was actually on the court for the Bulls' final game last season. You know, he essentially finished the season uninjured last year. He started this season. He's been playing every game, looking fairly healthy, even if the shots aren't falling. Still, of course, the memes come. You know, somebody dressed up as him for Halloween with
Yeah,
old
Lolo
crutches.
Jones.
That's right, yeah. So he's an easy target for that. He's made some silly remarks, some ill-advised comments. So the target's on his back and everything. But you know, it's good to see him come back actually. You know, and start to feel look healthy again and be driving and aggressive and everything. And the shots I'm sure will fall when he can see the basket out of both eyes properly. But yeah, it sounds to me like you know, it's not like nothing's really going to happen with it. With his contract, they can't really trade him. So he's there for another couple of years, I think, anyway. I don't think they're going to be able to move him. So if there
But
is a.
in regards to, do you think many teams would want to take the chance on him though at this stage? Because given the
Not
history.
for anything that the Bulls should accept in a trade, basically. I think some teams might consider it, but the Bulls would have to take on such a terrible contract that there's no way they should make the trade.
Okay.
And.
And
But I don't think teams would be lining up with really good assets to acquire him. Let's put it that way.
okay.
So that's why I say that, you know, you got players in the league like LeBron is untradeable because who would give away LeBron right now, or Durant or Westbrook or whoever, you know, players that are virtually untradeable because you're just not going to get equal value. Then you've got a player like Rose who is still a valuable player for the Bulls, but he's kind of untradeable because no one's going to be able to. At the moment, he doesn't really play up to his contract, and there is the issues about the health, even though he's been healthy so far and finished last season and everything. But you can't really trade him because you're not going to get any kind of decent value. And if you're going to make a trade in the NBA,
You want
you
to.
either yeah you will. I mean, it's very hard to get equal value for a star player, a really good player, or even just a really good role player. It's you know a straight up trade is very rarely. Works for both sides, but you either want to make the team better or put yourself in a position to get better by clearing cap space or something. If you want to trade Derrick Rose, you're either going to get junk or a really bad contract or both. So you're better for the Bulls taking the chance. And it doesn't seem like he wants out. It doesn't seem like they want him out. It seems like people are just trying to make rumors and criticize a guy who's easy to criticize. Let's face it, with what's happened the past couple of years. So. At the moment, I'm not putting too much stock in it. You know, he's been pretty dismissive of it. They seem to be playing okay. They're 5-3. They've had a couple of bad losses, but also some really good wins. So, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the rest of the season. Although I have to admit, as much as I'm a bit of a hypocrite here. A lot of people say, "Oh, he's in the glass jaw and everything." And I say, "Oh, well, it's just, you know, that you make assumptions because of his past injuries." But every time I'm watching a Bulls game and I see him land after a layup, I kind of wince a bit.
Yeah.
Just because his knee injuries were non-contact injuries,
Yeah, that's true. It's like
they
Asim's one as well. That was, I mean, he.
non-contact, yeah, and you're kind of like, you know, didn't take contact last time. All it took was a wrong landing. So whenever I see him sort of take a hard fall or something, I wince. But he's looking pretty durable. So you know, hats off to Rose, and hopefully he keeps getting better.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good for him to sort of get past all that. Meme stuff and basically, we'll
He's
say,
going to have to string through a few healthy seasons to do that. Like,
yeah.
remember Vince Carter when they were making fun of Vince Carter for always being injured? He really only had a couple of years there where he had some bad luck in injuries. And that, even when he'd played pretty much most of his career without missing too many games up until that point. And after that, even 3 or 4 years afterwards, they're still talking about how often he gets injured. And you look at his amount of games he's playing, it's like, well, he's playing over 75 games a season. Apart from those couple of seasons where he had some injury problems, so he's actually pretty durable.
Yeah, I
So
mean,
that's what's going to take for Rose is actually staying on the court for over 70 games for a few years before people actually forget that, you know, he had a bit of a blip there, but now it's all back to normal.
well, considering how long Carter's been in the league for now, you know, to get
Oh, that's a long time, yeah.
75 games a year out of him is or season is pretty dang good, so.
Yeah. I think it's a bit less now that he's taken on a smaller role and getting a bit older. But yeah, in his prime, he actually didn't miss that many games. It was one of those things that he had a couple of injury plagued years there, and then it became the norm to say, "Oh, Vince Carter's
Done
always
and dust,
injured,"
yeah.
even though it was just a couple of years there. In fact, if you look at how many games Shaq missed during his prime, it's technically he was a more often injured player than Carter. People don't really notice that because, of course, he was there when it counted in the championship rounds in the finals.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, you could look at that even when when Shaq was in Miami that 06 season. You know, he was injured for most of it. So yeah, it was definitely Wade carrying that team that year in that sense. So yeah.
That's as good a time as any to mention that I've just debuted the Wayback Wednesday feature on the NLSC. This week's feature is on. It's a actually an old feature that I posted many years ago, almost 10 years ago, in fact, on Dwayne Wade when he was the cover player of NBA Live 06 and became the I think it was the third player to make the finals the same year as being on the cover of Live, or the second, or certainly the main cover. Because actually, when I went back and researched it, because I had some commentary on the article, that's what I'll be doing with the Wayback. Whenever a Wayback article, I'll have the commentary as well. But when I first posted, I didn't take into account the international covers for NBA Live. Tony Parker was actually the first player to appear on the cover of an NBA Live cover, the French cover of NBA Live 2005, the same year as going to the finals and winning. But as far as the main cover is concerned, Wade is the first and so far only NBA Live cover player to go to the finals in the same year and win it all, as far as the main cover is concerned. But anyway, that's the new feature, Wayback Wednesday. But yeah, as you said, Dwayne Wade certainly did carry the Heat that year, and the finals had that incredible output, 34.7 points per game. I know that because I did the article that I just wrote and doing the follow-up summary on that.
Speaking of Wade, he just passed Pippen in the all-time scoring list for the 51st spot the other day.
Yes, a lot of the guys, and that stuff, as I've said before, makes me feel old that these guys that I remember coming out of college or high school in LeBron's case, now they've been in the league for over a decade and they're starting to climb all the all-time scoring and all the all-time leaders.
I mean, I didn't realize Scotty was around 51. I thought he was more inside the 50, like maybe not by much, sort of around the 40, 45 mark. So,
Well, there was that other guy in Chicago that was scoring a lot around that time, so
yeah.
fewer shots to go around during that era.
But even still, those couple of years where Jordan wasn't in the league and that sort of had given him the chance to be the number one guy for a while.
True.
So, you know, that would have
Couple
boosted up his
of
points a bit.
scoring there, absolutely.
And yeah, just how ferocious he was, especially on defense, and all the points he would have scored from all those opportunities from like steals and blocks and stuff. So yeah.
As Johnny Bark used to say, the Dobermans, with Jordan and Pippen, just unleash the Dobermans. But yes, I am looking forward to seeing Rose hopefully remain healthy and the Bulls continue to have a good season. As I said, the Heat are doing pretty well as well. They're tied with the Bulls, in fact, at 5-3 in the early going for the first 8 games, and they've actually just made the first trade of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't see this one come out. I didn't expect this one, and expect to be so soon in the season, let alone that. Like, basically, this within the second week.
Yeah, so it's Mario Chalmers and James Ennis going to the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Heat in return receiving Beno Udrih, veteran point guard, and Jahnel Stokes. So, your thoughts?
I'd
That's
say,
two-time champion Mario Chalmers.
yeah. But I mean, he hasn't really gone to the next level in his playing ability, and you know, obviously with Dragic there, so
The writing was on the wall, yeah.
yeah, I think Uric is a better all-round player and a bit more consistent. Yeah, his stats the last 2 years haven't been as good as they were a couple of years ago, and he missed like 72 games the season before that. But if he can get close to what he was doing just before he that injury in that, then very productive for the Heat. So I'd say a good pickup in that. So yeah, I think Mario should have progressed a little bit further. It was interesting because yeah, even Cole was getting some time ahead of him and all that stuff in other games.
Before they moved into the Pelicans, yeah.
Yeah, so
Well, I've just brought up some stats here. Didn't play too badly last season, but through 6 games this year, Chalmers 31% from the field, 33%. Sorry, that's effective. 90% from the free throw line, 9% from 3-point range.
yeah, that's
Is not making barely taking or making really making any threes. Just 5 points per game. He's down to 20 minutes a game. He's not starting this year, coming off the bench to Dragic, of course. It mentions in the article that with his contract, he was a candidate to be moved to avoid the repeat attacks for the Heat and also for maximum flexibility in the free agent market next summer. So obviously more reasons than just getting Udrih, but in any case, he has moved on to Memphis, where they note that he has the connection because he best known in college for helping beat Memphis in the championship game. That was that on Derrick Rose's missed free throws?
Quite possibly. You'd probably know more than me, because I mean, I didn't really pay much attention to.
I've got a feeling that was well, Rose went to Memphis,
Yep.
and they were in the championship game. So I think that was when he missed the free throws, and Chalmers helped them win. So, or helped to beat Memphis, I should say. But yeah, so he's moving on, and so that's another member of the championship team down.
Yeah, well, like I said, he hadn't really stepped it up, so, and yeah, he starts with dwindling a bit. I mean, it's like Haslam a bit, but Haslam has this vocal leader ability and all that stuff, and sort of heart of the spirit of the team in that. So I don't see, and given how much of a salary sacrifices and stuff that he's done over the last couple of years,
Yeah, and teams like to keep a big around as well, especially on a fairly reasonable deal.
yeah.
Keeping around just for, as you said, the veteran presence and just chipping in off the bench. He's only been playing 5 minutes a game in three games so far as Haslam, but yeah, otherwise has been pretty solid for them throughout his career and obviously a long tenure with the Heat, so probably retire
Yeah,
with them, I'd say.
he was a local boy anyway, when he graduated.
University of Florida, went to high school in Miami, yeah, born in Miami.
And then went to play in Europe for a season, and he got signed by the Heat and that. So yeah,
Yep.
and yeah, I think decent move by the Heat to get Rick Chalmers. See how it pays
Well,
off.
as for the Grizzlies, it's you have to see what they're going to go with it, because they're not doing spectacularly at the moment. If I just pull up their record, is they're 3-5. So
On the
they're a little
opposite
bit,
end of the scale.
they're performing a little bit below expectations at the moment. The 50-point loss to the Warriors, of course.
Yeah, which wouldn't have gone down very well, that's for sure.
Not enough grinding at the grindhouse.
They turned it off. Yeah.
Yeah, but finishing up the NBA discussion this week, and the last thing we wanted to talk about on the podcast before we wrap up, because we haven't made fun of the Lakers this week. Apologies to Lakers fans, but you're having a hard enough time as it is. But interesting statistic came out, and it's a bit outdated now, but I don't think it's actually changed because they haven't reported it.
And the
But
fact that Kobe didn't play today as well, so
that's
that
right.
would have been a key instrument if it for it not to change if that was the case. So.
But the statistic as it was last week is that in the 371 minutes that Nick Young and Kobe Bryant have played together since Young joined the Lakers a couple of years ago, of course Kobe hasn't played a whole lot of games these last couple of years, but in the 371 minutes they'd played together, first 371 minutes anyway, Nick Young had never assisted Kobe Bryant on a basket.
Does that surprise anyone, though?
Well, here's the thing. Kobe shoots a lot but hasn't been making a lot the last couple of years. Nick Young doesn't pass the ball a lot,
And he
so
shoots a lot himself, so
and he shoots a lot himself, so it kind of makes sense. But you'd think that even accidentally, just one, maybe just one quick pass to Kobe under the hoop or something for one assist. I mean, that's like Yikidare going a couple of years without registering a career assist, and ending with four assists for his career. That's the late great Yikidare there. But that's an interesting statistic.
And like I said, I mentioned it to you just before we started recording. I'd like to know the stats with the other teammates and that, and sort of see if it's just Kobe or if it's generally a couple of other guys on the team and that.
Well, clearly NBA Live and NBA 2K both need to patch something in or include it next year, where if you get Nick, if you get the ball with Nick Young, the pass buttons are just disabled, or if you pass to Kobe, it's an automatic miss, or you can't use the icon passing to get it to Kobe because of but
In the career story modes and stuff, you have the locker room situations like pass me the ball. No. You have that option of like the multiple choice. It's like yes or no.
Just no, 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 no. It's all just four different options, and they all say no. Yeah.
I'll pass on passing the ball to you.
But Kobe did miss that game today, as you said, and this Hoops Hype tweeted out the statistic here. Has the worst shooting percentage in the NBA among players with more than 60 shots taken. He's shooting 32%. He has 99 points on the season on 97 shots. So the efficiency is still not particularly good. And interesting that he did sit out the game today. In fact, they're even talking about he wants to play in the 2016 Olympics.
Yeah,
So, I
maybe
mean,
as
it's.
a coach role, I could see that happening.
I mean, I think the USA could field a team that's good enough with 10 players that you could have, or 11 players, and have a 12th player who's just there for a farewell tour. But give the spot to a young guy that's earned it. I mean, Kobe's been in a couple of Olympics, won gold, and I think it was different with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird on the Dream Team because that was the first year that pros could go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it made sense to include them on the team along with Jordan and all the other greats and the 11 Hall of Famers and Christian Laettner. So
Good
yeah,
old Christian Laettner, the token white guy.
John Stockton was on that team. Larry
Oh,
Bird,
true, true.
Chris Mull, but a token college player.
Oh,
But they
yeah.
in any case, with all due respect to Kobe, he's apparently mentioned to Byron Scott that this would be he's probably going to be his last year. I think it should be. I think the Lakers need to move on. He needs to. There's no shame in hanging it up after, as we discussed the other week, up to 20 years in the league, especially when Father Time, who is undefeated, has started to really take its toll
Yep, and I can
and
only,
sit out the Olympics. Let it go to a young guy,
yep, I can only see if he was stubborn enough to play next season, I can only see it getting worse. Like that shooting percentage going around the 20, low 20s. We saw that effort the other day where he airballed the three and then,
Didn't run back on
yeah,
defense.
that's not Kobe Bryant. That's not the Mamba.
No,
That's Earthworm.
the bite is gone. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's no, it's
That's the Earthworm
20 years in
banged.
20 years in the league. I'm just looking up. He's played in the regular season almost 47,000 minutes. That's a lot of minutes. That's a lot of basketball. Looking at the playoffs, where's his playoff totals? Over 8,641 minutes in the playoffs. 220 playoff games he's played, which I think is up there, in top three total playoff, total playoff games in the career. So a lot of mileage, and Lakers obviously not doing as well. How do you get that motivation, even with as competitive as Kobe is? So yeah, probably. Actually, I'm just reading here on Basketball Reference, unlikely to play Wednesday against the Magic due to a sore back. So it's obviously taking its toll and. Hopefully he can finish out the year and give Lakers fans a couple of good memories to go out on. But I think he's had his day.
Yeah. Do you see him playing more than 60 games this season?
That's a real that's really interesting. I th If he's healthy enough, probably, and I think he'd like to go out on his own terms, like finish the regular season and be able to walk off the court and after playing that last game. But it's he hasn't been able to play more than 35 games the last 3 years. So, it remains to be seen. That's the other thing that people were saying. I saw some comments on the article on Yahoo NBA. They said, well, he wants to play in the Olympics. Is he going to be healthy to play in the
Yeah,
Olympics?
that's true.
Is he going to make it through the year without an injury?
Is he going to have to go back to Germany for some surgery or anything like that? There's so yeah, it'd be. I know. I think he'll see where. I still think he'll probably see where he's going to go around All-Star Weekend, and then decide from there.
Take from there, yeah. I mean, I guess if he's playing like this, I hope he doesn't get voted in to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I know that Michael Jordan's selection in his last year with the Wizards was kind of controversial, and some people weren't happy that Vince Carter stepped aside so that he could be
But
so that he could
that was
start.
around the time when Vince was injured a bit.
He was injured, yeah,
So
and it was, Jordan had announced that it was his last year, and Jordan was also playing a lot better those last couple of seasons than Kobe has the last couple of seasons as well.
yeah.
So with his current performance, depending on who else is what's happening in the West, maybe you put him on the bench so he can have a bit of a farewell.
But definitely not a
Maybe,
starter, that's for sure.
but if the fans vote him as a starter, it's I defend fan voting. I don't think it's the huge problem that people say. And if he gets in, well, then I guess it's his farewell tour the last time. But it's, there's other players in the West, and we did see some of that swing last year as well.
Yep.
with the voting. But yeah, I mean, if he doesn't make it as a starter and he's still playing like this at the All Star break, I don't know. Bring him out at halftime and present him with a car or something, so, or a boat or something like that, by all means. But yeah,
Mario Carey wearing a skin tight leak. Kobe jersey, like, performing in that.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have to change the jersey a couple of times too, because yep. He's got the couple, but the 8 and the 24. But with that kind of performance, give the spot on the All Star team and the Olympic team to a young guy. You know, yep. I have to say, with all due respect to what he's done, those are honors for what you're doing now.
Yep.
You know, as someone said, well, if it's about honoring your contributions to the game, why don't they add Michael Jordan to the, to the Olympic team? Let him sit on the bench. You know. Dr. J, Shaq, you know. So, again, all respect to Kobe, but it continues to be a rough season for him. And that was a weird statistical note with him and Nick Young.
And, yeah, it was, like I said, I want to know how many other guys, especially, say, within the same time period, like the amount of seasons and stuff, if it was more just Kobe himself, or if it was, like, one or two other players that Nick Young refused to pass the ball to.
Yeah. So. Well, I just think he's not really passing the ball in general. If you look at his assist numbers, so.
So
if you're Kobe Bryant, don't feel too bad. It's nothing personal. Yeah. I think it's just Nick Young just likes to take shots and celebrate before they go in. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 134 of the NLSE podcast. Hope you enjoyed listening to this week's discussion. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Also, want to let everyone know that we are now on Stitcher. So if you get the Stitcher app for iOS or Android devices, you want to listen to us on the go, you can easily do that now by getting the Stitcher app and searching for us on Stitcher, the NLSC podcast, of course.
We promise to leave you in stitches.
Ooh, very nice.
Thank you.
not, you know, with quips like that, we certainly will. But, of course, you can keep streaming on the NLSC, of course. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And as always, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for your daily dose of basketball video game coverage. That will do it, however, so thank you again for tuning in. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And podcast never changes. See you next week.
See you next week.